It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Love your current environment, REM, love it.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here, checking out the episode. Please do hit that subscribe button. You know the drill. You like what you see, what you hear. I put out three new interviews every single week, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artist with a new interview every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Any of the usual spots, including Spotify and Apple Podcast. You can grab us at NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With, and please also leave a review. It's the best way to help a show like this grow, and we would love to keep growing, honestly. And that takes your participation. You know, I try to give you the good stuff every single week, three times a week, only asking for take just a moment next time you're at your landing spot of choice, wherever you listen to these at, and rate it and leave a review. And then I'll keep trying to give you some great guests. I mean, consider the ones we've had recently, including Nusha Noor to talk about the Persian version. We had Nathan Stewart Jarrett and Neve Algar on to discuss Culprits, that's on Hulu. Vince Clark of Erasure and Depeche Mode, he dropped in. Also talked with Julia Michaels about the soundtrack to Disney's Wish. Omar J. Dorsey was here. He's starring in Bookies on Max. Stacey Kent talked about her new record, Roseanne Cash. It was the 30th anniversary of The Wheel. Kate Siegel dropped by as we got into the fall of the House of Usher on Netflix. And Shelley Hennig, who's also got a show on Netflix with Obliterated, she was here as well. We had Dolly Parton, Neil deGrasse Tyson, REM. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, Gracie Abrams. I'm so happy to have her back on. It's been a couple years, and a lot has happened in those couple years. She's finally released her debut album, which came out earlier in 2023. It's called Good Riddance, and now she's Grammy-nominated Best New Artist. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about the debut record and the work she's continuing to do with Aaron Dessner. He produced Good Riddance, and she's working with him on the next LP as well. So Gracie's going to tell us about getting a call from fellow Best New Artist nominee Noah Kahan after hearing the news, and how she hears this record after touring it for a year, and why this set of songs, as she says, is so much more personal than her earlier work. Gracie's also going to discuss how her writing changed after meeting and working with Desner, what the next record will sound like. I'll ask about the additional tracks that make up the deluxe edition of Good Riddance and her contribution to the Buccaneers soundtrack, and we'll hear about the heightened experience of opening for Taylor Swift. She did it on a bunch of dates in 2023. She has more of those coming up in 2024. All that and more. We're talking Good Riddance. It's Kyle Meredith with Gracie Abrams.
Hey, how's it going?
So it's been a couple years since we've talked. And let me say, things have happened for you.
Things have happened for everyone. How are you? How have you been?
No, I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. This is what I do every day. But let me say, the last time we talked, you were sort of building up to what would eventually be an album. And it happened. And Good Riddance came out. And it's such a beautiful record.
Thank you.
And so powerful. And now you're Grammy nominated. And I just wanted to start with a huge congratulations to you for all of this.
Thank you so much. Thank you. That's really generous. I'm just happy to be back here. Thank you.
So what's that, I know this is the question, but you get Grammy nominated, your best new artist. How does that work for you? What are you doing at the time?
Every year I feel like since they've done it, I've watched every year growing up, I would watch the Grammys, like from the couch or from bed or whatever it is, like just a huge fan and love cheering from the couch. And I was in bed with like my heating pad on and watching the live stream, like expecting truly like nothing at all. And it was pure shock and like terror. Because they announced the category and they said my name came up. Like, there wasn't even, like, a second to process the fact that that had happened. So I called my mom and, you know, gasped for air on the phone for a while. And then Noah Kahn was the first person to call me, and we kind of just had, like, a screaming match on the phone.
Because he's also nominated for the same category, right?
Yeah. I'm like, just, he is the greatest guy. Like, I wish everyone knew him personally. He's such a good person.
Which, you know, of course, I'll also point out, you guys have recorded together on Noah's song with Everywhere Everything, and it's great to hear you guys. I mean, you sound great together.
Thank you. I feel like he could carry anyone and anything on his back. You know what I mean? He's just so good. So I am very grateful that he asked me to hop on that one.
So is there at least some like friendly ribbing that goes on at all with the two of you?
No.
Or like, I will destroy you kind of?
No, I literally like I can't even I have taken myself out of the equation entirely. You know what I mean? I'm literally just like so excited to cheer and scream in like a really obnoxious way for everyone that wins and everyone that doesn't and everyone who's not been nominated. Like, there's so many incredible artists this year that like should have been in the, you know, I just am so anyway. It's such an honor, and also it's like you look around and so many of my favorite artists have never been nominated for anything. So it's grain of salt, huge fat grain of salt, huge honor. Can't wait to like see everyone look hot.
The weird balance of whatever this game is that everybody plays, right?
That's you're like, ah! Just like, holy shit. Yeah.
Well, I do want to talk about the record a little bit because it's an incredible piece of work that you've done here. And you know, I've been hearing about what you've said about it over the past year. I mean, I'm looking at quotes right now. Writing this record allowed me to grow up in ways I needed to. You said it's the first time you felt 100% yourself. You know, I think I'm quoting things that you said a lot. But now that, you know, it has been out there, like these songs have been worked on for the past few years and it was released at this point of the year. Now it's being celebrated. For this to be so personal, has it changed the way your relationship that you have with it or how you see it or hear it?
Yes. In that I think like having had the opportunity to tour it all year long, it's like so many of my memories associated with these songs now are because of the shows that we've played and the people that have been generous enough to come to those shows. And so it's funny, the like lifespan of music, just like the way that it goes. It's like you spend all this time writing it in isolation and recording it and sitting on it kind of, and then it's everybody else's, and that is kind of the best thing. It's also like that process, playing so many shows this year getting a feel for that muscle, you know, with all of this music that was so introverted, ultimately, I think like it's taught me a lot about how I want to feel on stage, what I want to be playing, and like the kinds of songs, I suppose, because like you can play anything anywhere, but I do want to, how do I put it? Like the process of playing live has influenced greatly the way that I record and I write now. Like this record, I Good Riddance means so much to me, and all of the things that I've said about it, Archer, in terms of like how significant the process was, in terms of like what it taught me about myself, how I love to write, the collaborator that I was lucky enough to find through this whole process. And now I feel like a slightly more extroverted person. So like I guess Good Riddance now in the context of all the other music that I've been making since that record came out, I have such a soft spot for it. And it does mean so much to me. And I am so psyched for next year.
And we'll be right back, right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Gracie Abrams. Because for what this record is, it represents, as you're saying, why did it become that moment in your life? Why does it have this complete representation of you in that moment in ways that the songs before didn't? Because like, is it just a kind of like, I was trying to figure out how to become a songwriter thing? I mean, what sets it apart in that specific way?
I think that I have been writing songs since I was 8 years old. Like so many of them have just like, I've been writing since I was really little. And so like, I don't think that it was like how to become a songwriter, though, like the more you write, the better you get. It's just like true. I think it was a lot to do with environment and like the period of my life that I was in, like teenager to like early 20s, and like figuring out, I don't know, I was like more deeply insecure than I feel today. Like I didn't like myself as much as I do now. I didn't, you know, like I was more malleable in ways that I don't think were helpful to my music often. Like I felt like I wanted to live up to some version that other people expected a little. I always felt like anytime I was doing anything that like could have been categorized as pop, I guess it felt like a real stretch for me internally in a way that made it sometimes uncomfortable to then like come around to the point of releasing something. Like there was just kind of consistently one or two aspects of all of it that felt like it was like there was some internal like friction. And when I started working on Good Riddance and when I met Aaron, it was like this completely new lens through which I was like experiencing the process. It was like very far from LA, first of all, which I think was really helpful, though like it might not sound like it matters ultimately, but it really did for me, to be kind of in the middle of nowhere, where there was real space and quiet to cultivate a world, and a dynamic, a partnership between myself and Aaron. Like it was the first year of real intensive, like going in for long periods of time and working together and getting to know each other. Like I think what I've learned even more recently, in terms of working on this next record, is like the like dedication. Like we can naturally have good chemistry and like click together, writing songs and producing songs. But like if you're spending weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks on end doing it, even if like you spend 1 week and you get, you know, 10 songs and you can be, it's like the more that we've dedicated to ourselves to pushing this next record to like be the best version of it, that is what I'm like learning to be so fucking excited by and like fulfilled by, is like I think we're getting so much better at like working together. And so I'm so grateful that Good Riddance exists, because it does feel like kind of feels like a true example of kind of just how we naturally are, how our brains are, but then to push ourselves in these new lanes has been really exciting and really, really fun, like pure fun. And like that I didn't know I could feel when I'm writing about some hard feelings, you know. It's like to actually have the best time is so fucking lucky.
And I love Aaron.
Love Aaron.
Of course, been spending 20 years with the National, you know, in these moments right here and outside of shows, and to see the work that he's not only done, but what you all have produced. And what you're saying is you all are continuing to work again, right? I mean, this the, yeah, the new stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
He's so good at sounds, obviously, but he's so good at a mood.
Oh my God. It's instant. And it's like, it's felt, I find like it's so easy to identify work that he's touched, because it's like often before any vocal, whether it's like on the National or if it's, you know, and any of the everything that Aaron has been a part of, like it does just feel so evident to me. And like I don't think that's just because I've spent, you know, days on end in his studio. I literally think it's because you can feel energetically there's like a kind of heart in all of the music that he makes. And a lot of it can feel really, like I find that what I love is that it can like make me feel sad even if I'm not actually sometimes. And then the stuff that feels lighter, the stuff that lifts, like has a sense of hope to it that is like just kind of rare. I think he's amazing, obviously.
Well, like I said, the work you guys do, and it's very exciting actually to hear that there's going to be more. And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Gracie Abrams. I've been also paying attention to some of these tracks in, you know, in the middle too, not just because the deluxe edition came out. I mean, I've always been a fan of, I guess, what we used to call B-sides.
Yeah, totally. You know,
now it's deluxe edition stuff like Unsteady, 405, Two People, which I don't know. I was thinking about Two People in like the grand statement, the bigger picture of this album. How do you view that song? Because, you know, the fact that it just now comes at the end starts to say something for how I look at the full record, I guess, whether it's meant to or not.
Totally. Well, it was funny, like that song does feel kind of like a bit of the thesis a little. I love that one, and it is, I think it like sounds cynical, but it actually, I was really happy to write it. It's just like the truth. Everyone's changing all the time and nothing is guaranteed. And like, if something works, then great. And if it doesn't, of course it doesn't. I don't know.
I was kind of surprised Abby wasn't part of the deluxe edition.
I know, but Abby does have its own vinyl, so you can find it out there.
Yeah, it exists. and only while I'm here asking about those, because Cedar ended up on the Buccaneers soundtrack. Is that all from the same set? Is that from the old sessions or is that from new sessions?
Cedar is from old sessions. Cedar was from like, Cedar was the demo title, obviously. And then by the time it got to where it did, we were like, let's just not change it to what we were. Anyway, it is old. It's old. It definitely, like, it does feel like there's like a, now it's so funny because there was a few, or maybe it was like a month ago now or something. One of my recent trips to Long Pond, there was a song that I wrote that instantly after listening back to it once, I was like, oh, this would have been for Good Riddance. This is actually not this album. Like, it's been kind of easy for my brain to like categorize these songs into different worlds, which makes me excited because I think then the identity of this next album like is just very different than Good Riddance ultimately. Though I do believe there's like a through line, but it does feel like it's changed. But Cedar, yeah, Cedar has like a quiet kind of, again, kind of like introverted heartbeat to it that is less present in the new stuff.
So with whatever you feel like you could say, what defines the next set then against what we know from Good Riddance?
I haven't quite even decided like how to talk about it yet because I haven't been talking about it yet. But I think it does feel more extroverted. It feels every song to me feels so sure of itself. And I think like it's because I've had so much fun making it. We've just had the best time. And so I think there's like something about all of the music where I hope it feels like we had the best time making it. Versus I feel like if you listen to Good Riddance, you're like, there's like maybe she was crying between like takes, you know. I don't feel like it sounds like I was crying on this next record.
That's great. I mean, the fun is good. And I've got no problem with the crying of Good Riddance because yeah. That moment is there as well, you know, when totally. We do that. Totally. And I'll quickly mention, you're going back out on tour with Taylor again. Those are more dates. Is that a typical day for you show-wise? And I'm only saying because that is such a heightened experience, I know, for everybody. But as a performer, is it as different as it would feel like to us?
I mean, like, there's nothing that, like, there's something, just there's so undeniable about the scale of all of it. And it's a combination of, like, what I love more than anything to do with my time now, which is, like, anything related to music that I'm able to make, plus, like, my entire childhood into my adult life, like, beating heart of, like, the music that I've leaned on when I've needed it the most, you know, plus, you know, Taylor now being such a dear friend and, you know, mentor in these ways and like the whole, plus like learning from every single member of her crew and band and dancers and stuff, like all of it is like, everyone's so, so generous and so kind and so psyched to be there, and it's like nothing else. And it also, they've created such a safe work environment, like it's like a real dream, and I have been like so deeply grateful that there's a whole another round of shows next year for so many reasons, mostly because like I can't imagine it ever being over ever, and also because it's kind of served as this sort of like a bit of a, not light at the end of the tunnel, but like kind of this just this marker of everything till then. I just know what I want to do in order for the show that I'm able to play ahead of hers next year. I just want it to have a certain effect, and I'm like really excited and really baffled that she's sharing her stage yet again so that I can like run around.
She's saying what we all know, and that's you make fantastic music, and I do mean that. Gracie, thank you so much. Congratulations, I mean that, on the nomination and for all that means and doesn't mean for you and for everyone else.
Yeah, totally. Thank you so much. It's so good to see you. Thank you for your time and your questions and your beautiful wall.
And my thanks to Gracie Abrams. The latest album is called Good Riddance, and sounds like we're going to be hearing more on the way very, very soon. Thanks to you, of course, for checking out the episode. Before you get out, please, please, please let me get what I want. Please hit that subscribe button and give a rating and a review. Let us know what you think about the show. You can even let us know who you'd like to see on the show. Do that wherever you listen to podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcasts from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And then after all that, head over to WFPK.org. So I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's 4 hours of classics. I do a lot from the 90s, the 80s and 70s. You got the best in new music. There's lots of bonus interviews and music news. One of my recent shows had the I featured the music of Suzanne Vega, Brian Tyree Henry, Noah Kahan with Ozier. We played Sonic Youth, Cake, Nine Inch Nails, Okro Medicine Show, Des Ray, Devin Gilfillian, My Morning Jacket, Future Islands, Chris Cornell, The Smithereens, Grace Potter, Angie McMahon, Eva Cassidy, Diana Ross, Jimmy Eat World, U2, Slow Pulp, Sheryl Crow, and I had my interview with Neil deGrasse Tyson. Just an example of what you can hear every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. Of course, you can also catch me on the old social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time.
Saving money on remodeling your home at Menards. Start your tile project off right with DentShield Tile Backer from Georgia Pacific. It's proven to protect against moisture in your walls and subfloors, with a built-in water barrier, making it perfect to use in damp areas like kitchens and bathrooms. Plus, its easy-to-cut design makes installation a breeze. Save big on Georgia Pacific DentShield Tile Backer panels. On sale through March 2nd. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Consequence Podcast Network.
You're like, I'm cool. I brought, you're like, I know what I'm talking about.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.